I set a watch. I doubled a watch.
And I work to make more so we can watch over everything all the time as best we can. What would have happened if there was no brave man to confront Peter and Barnabas? Well, we know. What would have happened if there was no brave Azariah to confront Uzziah the king? What will it be asked of us would have happened if no one said, you know what, that's wrong, and you know it's wrong?
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching a special message entitled Mishandled Blessings. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick with today's special message, Mishandled Blessings.
Just before he could strike the priest, God struck him. How unfortunate. This great man of God finding himself in this spot. He put himself there. No one did this to him. He did it to himself. That's how it happens. That's what happens with a mishandled blessing. You have no one to blame but yourself.
So the Bible says, I want to help you not get to that place of judgment. Verse 20, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him.
When they saw that leprosy show up on his head like a headband, and they're all staring at him, this was not a teachable moment. This was a miraculous moment. There on his forehead, he was leprous, it says. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out, because Yahweh had struck him. Could you see his little feet shuffling as fast as they can with that robe flaring around? And the king, the priests have him, and they're back of him making sure he doesn't slow down, pulling him along by his arms. Get him out of there. They're going to have a lot of cleanup that day. They had to sanctify the temple again themselves. Oh, man, what work he created for righteous men. Unnecessary work. Verse 21. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. What an epitaph. He was a leper until he died. He dwelt, it says here in verse 21, in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of Yahweh. Was it worth it? Was it that much fun? Was this something that you just had to do when you woke up in the morning and you put your little sandals on? In the blink of an eye, a great and powerful king was reduced to a social outcast. It's just like that. God was merciful. He didn't kill him. A hard lesson in humility for mishandling a blessing, for becoming too big for his britches in the house of God. You see, that's where we have to wait. Wait a minute. I don't want to be too big for my britches in the house of God or anywhere else, because if I am somewhere else, I'm going to drag it in. And so with success, you have to answer to God. Any of you businessmen, businesswomen here, successful? You're going to have to answer to God, not for your success, but how you handled it. Did it go to your head? Or did you not lose sight that everything that you have, every thread, belongs to the Lord, consecrated unto him? When you give your life to him, your life is not your own. Neither is what you're wearing on your back. It's not yours. It's his. It's yours to manage. It's yours to steward. But it's not yours to possess. The proof of that is death. You leave it all behind. Even the greedy ones leave it behind. And so as a leper, now he has to submit to the priests. Leviticus 13 and 14 cover the law of the leper. Now he is forced. How appropriate that God smit him with leprosy and not a toothache. Could he hit five abscess, boom. No, he does leprosy. It matches the crime. And he had to endure isolation, which is probably the worst of it all. Not too bad in the beginning. But as the clock keeps ticking, it keeps gaining in its weight and its severity as it presses upon you. He could no longer go to church. The church he defiled, he could not go back to. He was never again allowed on the Temple Mount. The last years of his reign, this glorious beginning that he had, were years of suffering and sadness and loneliness. The story of one man's pride and a good man. Don't lose sight of that. Don't say, well, you know, he was a creep always. You know, he was just, I knew he was no good from the time I laid eyes on him. No, this was not his story. This man was upright. And at this time in this consideration of this Old Testament king, I'd like to consider a New Testament parallel, because there's a lesson. It's more about Azariah standing up to the king than it is about the king himself. Because when a good man stumbles, when a good man or a good sister or brother in the faith, when they stumble and they are jeopardizing the testimony of truth, someone should come to their aid. What did Paul write to the Galatians? You who are spiritual, restore such a one. Any of you stumbling? Those who are spiritual, take arms to help them. No, that's what he was doing in writing the Galatian letter. They were stumbling, and he took to the pen, as it is mightier than the sword. In fact, much of the ancient artwork on the Apostle Paul has him holding a sword. Whether it's in sculpture or painting, he's holding a sword. And that was his pen, the Word of God. And so in the interest of peace, there came a day in Antioch. Antioch in Syria, not Antioch in Asia. That was the first church that began to bring the Gentiles in. It eclipsed the church in Jerusalem with its holiness. It's right from there God said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry. It was one of the best churches in the New Testament. And it was so moved by the Holy Spirit and the Gentiles coming in that a party of believers from Jerusalem decided to go up and see what was going on. And when they got there, they were legalists. Then a legalist is one who believes in the salvation of Jesus Christ so long as you follow the law of Moses. So long as you follow these rules, you can be saved. Not by faith, but by doing these deeds. And for them, it was circumcision and the Sabbath. Paul was fierce about this in Galatian letter. And then the writer of the Hebrews says, you know what? You can't go to the cross of Christ and still bring a cow to the altar and expect the cross of Christ to benefit you. In fact, it will condemn you. Very serious about that in Hebrews 10. Well, Peter, that rock, he was up at Antioch too. Barnabas was there. Barnabas had been through so much with Paul in that first missionary journey. Both of these men stumbled at that point under the pressure of others coming to town. This was a critical hour in Christianity. Our entire faith could have dissolved right there on that day in Antioch. If Peter allowed himself to say, I'm not eating with Gentiles because they won't get circumcised. They will not honor the Sabbath. Therefore, I'm not going to eat with them. I'm going to eat with these Jewish Christians over here who still honor those things. And that's what Peter did. And Barnabas said, I'm with you. And Paul, like Azariah, flew to confront them. He was not going to put. He understood this critical moment. The Christianity was nosediving to destruction right at this seemingly harmless moment. So painful this was, Luke does not even write about it in the book of Acts. Someone had to perform this awful duty. Someone had to step up and say something to Simon Peter the Great, the rock. And Paul was the only one to do it. He was the only one who could do it. And he performed the unpleasant act. And we read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. It's funny how Christians will look the other way when they need to deal with something. But when it's something that is wrong, oftentimes they will embrace it. And this is This is the battle. This is the fight. Now, I don't put myself above you. I don't say, well, I'm above that. I don't want leprosy on my forehead and you rushing me out of the building. I'm one of you in this respect. And so I'm on guard. I set a watch. I double the watch. And I work to make more so we can watch over everything all the time as best we can. What would have happened if there was no brave man to confront Peter and Barnabas? Will we know? What would have happened if there was no brave Azariah to confront Uzziah the king? What will it be asked of us would have happened if no one said, you know what, that's wrong, and you know it's wrong. Maybe you've been corrected by one of the pastors here because you were wrong about something. Maybe it was a policy issue, you're still wrong. How are you going to take that? Are you going to be bitter in your heart, how dare they? Or are you going to receive it and say, okay, I'll work on that. I want us to all row in the same direction. Usually, when I mention Christians being church killers, it is almost always over nothing. It is almost never over doctrine. Doctrine, truth is what decides our alliances or separates them or joins them. It's truth. Not the brand of sugar that you use out in the cafe. Now, I won't stay on that. It's too close to my heart. If this could happen to these pillars of the faith like Peter and Barnabas, it can happen to me. And those whom God, again, has blessed materially and in ministry are at particular risk. And if you get carried away with pride, you will be carried away. You will be like Martha. Remember her? Jesus. How are you letting Mary sit there at the Bible study when she needs to be working like me? And Jesus said, and that was the end of it. I wouldn't want to be Martha on the day of that correction in front of everybody. Martha, Martha, you're so caught up with the wrong things. Your little sister, she's slamming it. You. And we never heard Martha complain again. Men, you can be Marthas, and women, you can be also. You can be in that place where you think you've got it going on. The church is yours, or this is yours, and in the church, or just someone is your pet friend, or something possessive, or something like that. This is happening to you. You're being set up by Satan and your own flesh. Satan is the army that comes into the castle of your heart. The flesh is the traitor within that opens the gate for him. And this is why the war goes on with the flesh and the spirit all the time. And no matter how special you've told yourself you are, you're not. And that will help you stay strong. Well, we're going to close now with another long section about the mishandled blessings. These tragedies tell of these lurking dangers and success. Again, I don't want to lose sight of those who have success somewhere else. Maybe you're an A student, and you're quite smug about it. In fact, you gauge all your friends. What are you? What'd you get in school? You don't say it out loud, but you're thinking it. You're not as smart as me. Therefore, I'm better than you. Maybe you don't go that far with it, but it's already gone when you begin to entertain it. It's happening. I like the analytical mind that never thinks. They can do equations, they just can't come to conclusions that match Jesus Christ. And they want to tell everybody, well, I'm deep. You're deep in trouble. And so our efforts to succeed must be matched by efforts to remain like Christ. And if he can humble himself as God and take on the garb of a servant, if he can bend his knee and wash the feet. Look, I'm not into washing my own feet. I have to. I'm sorry. Too much information. I know. But here is the God of the universe saying, Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter say, uh-uh. No way. You are up here and I am down here. And Jesus is saying, that's not what this lesson is about. This lesson is about you being a servant to someone else, just like I'm being a servant to you. I mean, this is why we love the Word of God. It touches a part of us that nothing else on earth can. It gets inside. It corrects. Where are you going to get this? The workplace? Am I going to come up at the workplace? I want to talk about your character in Christ. You won't receive it. But we have an assembly, and when you sit and you listen to hopefully what God is saying through one of the other disasters, you begin to say, this is the Lord. Worldly success lifts a man's heart up, and he loses that taste for humility that is so special at the beginning of his walk. When you first come to Christ, do you not say, woe is me? There's nothing good about me. I need a Savior. And then God starts blessing your life, and you get business deals, or you get high scores in your grades, or you're excelling in the workplace, or whatever. Or maybe you've got none of those victories, but you still think you're all that. And God is saying, I give you the good things. Don't do the wrong thing. Don't mishandle them. What happens if you mishandle a hammer? When I was younger, I tried twirling a hammer once. I never tried it again. It's a miracle I didn't end up in the ER. It's how you handle certain things that makes a lot of difference of what's going to happen in your life later on. And it takes gratitude and knowledge to keep us safe, not isolation. Isolation will not do it. Your sins will follow you into isolation. That is not enough. The scripture is littered with those who were judged for being too full of themselves. We'll take the first one that God was working on, Nebuchadnezzar. God won the battleground over this particular king. But to point out the danger of pride, Daniel 30, the king spoke saying, is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by mighty power and for the honor of majesty? He did like Uzziah did. Uzziah got bored. I built all the tunnels, and well, that was Hezekiah, his great-great-great-grandson, but he did all these things, and he was quite impressed with himself. God's response to Nebuchadnezzar was not leprosy, it was insanity. He said, fine, let's follow this right to its natural conclusion. You're so lifted up with yourself, you're going to go nuts. And he lived like an animal. And then there was Darius, even Darius, the one that loved Daniel, Daniel's king friend. Listen to this. It's so subtle, you might not catch it. But you need a proud Bible teacher such as myself to bring it out. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors, advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Where in that was Darius' pride served? Where it says, except you. Except you, O king. Everybody's going to bow down except you. And he said, yeah, I like it. Go with it. And God's response to Darius was not insanity. It was trickery. The feeling of being made a fool. When they got Daniel into the lion's den, that king was, boy, the day's going to come. I'm going to get you guys for making me a fool. You made a sucker out of me. And what did the Bible say? That when he threw those men into the lion's pit, the lions pounced on them before they hit the ground. Fly ball. And they caught it. Diving catch. Moses warned the people against the dangers of prosperity. He said, these things are going to lead to you mishandling the very blessings that God has given to you. I hope this message is a wake-up call. You know, when God gives me these things, I don't know where they're going. I don't know who they're for. I try not to single anyone out or anything like that. I just know God keeps returning me to this point, and then it develops, and then I do the best I can do and run for the foxhole after. But I know by faith that God's word is true. It does not return void. It is a sword that pierces even to the division of the soul and the marrow. That's pretty deep. It rightly discerns. It opens up things that must be opened up, that you will not do on your own, because you cannot. And so he's established this. You know, when Paul said that the Lord has given gifts to the church in Ephesians 4, that Greek word for gifts is not charisma, it's doxma. The men that he gave to the church, they are the gifts. And this is something that Azariah served as in the days of Uzziah. He was a gift to the nation, that high priest. It was what Paul was there in Antioch. He was a gift to Christianity. And God still does it this way. And that, knowing that helps us to receive it. And so Deuteronomy, here's what Moses said. He said, beware. He could have just stopped right there. That you do not forget Yahweh your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget Yahweh your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And he goes on, verse 17 of Deuteronomy 8. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might, the might of my hand, gained this wealth for me. I did it. God has been blessing you, and then somehow it's your creativity, it's your savvy, your business savvy, it's your salesmanship, it's your studying late hours and being able to get the information in and then get the A on the test. It's your natural beauty or your inability to lose hair at a fast rate. These things you credit yourself with, and God is saying you're being suckered. I've warned you about this. What else can I do? I cannot come down and be you. You've got to take my word or else it's not faith. And this is the very thing that happened to King Uzziah. Blinded by success, he lost sight of God's blessings, of who it came from. He took off all the return addresses from the gifts and threw them away. The natural tendency of a man's heart, again, is to forget his obligation to God on the day of his prosperity. The time that we are doing well, the flesh begins to try to take over and usurp as King Uzziah did. And so page after page in the scripture rings of the charges of this great and important truth. Hosea chapter 4, verse 7. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory to shame. Hosea 13, 6. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. What a sob is in that. Remember, Hosea is the brokenhearted prophet. He's not thundering at the people. He's sobbing. Well, Amos comes along, he thunders. But Hosea is saying, how can I give you up, Ephraim? Ephraim is joined to idols. Let her alone. So these verses are the voice of God, and they speak to each one of us. One more quote, this time Hezekiah. Another great godly man, a great king of Israel. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up, therefore the wrath was looming over him. It was just hovering like a drone, ready to take him out. He was playing under the anvil tree. That's what was happening to Hezekiah. And then we read, then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of Yahweh did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Do you think Isaiah, who was certainly an influence in the nation, do you think his words, his biography had reached the people at this time? Do you think the chronicler, his words had reached the people about King Uzziah and they benefited from it? I do. And so we've been warned of mishandling God's blessings. May it not evaporate when you leave here. May it not be a snowflake warning that the minute the heat hits, it dissolves. But may you drive it deep into your flesh like a stake.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue sharing this in-depth study taught from the Word of God next time. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.